Little Ones, the Sleep Manual podcast.
Welcome to our podcast, The Sleep Manual, a podcast all about your baby or toddler's sleep. And we have new episodes out every single week. I'm Amanda, and I'm joined, as usual, by Nikki, my Little Ones co-founder.
Hello.
If you need a hand with your baby's sleep, we'd love you to visit our website at www.littleones.co and we can help solve any sleep challenges that you might be facing. In today's episode, we are going to talk specifically about your little one at 3 months.
Yes, we are going to cover everything to do with your baby at 3 months, their sleep, of course, and their development. So let's dive right in, shall we, Amanda? And first of all, I think it's appropriate that we focus on and talk about your little one's sleep at 3 months, because I'm pretty sure any of you, all of you who have a baby or who have had a baby this age will realize that this is a bit of a tricky sleep patch. And you've probably come out of that newborn phase where you're thinking, okay, I'm starting to feel like I'm on top of this, I kind of know what I'm doing. Maybe your little one has started sleeping a whole lot better. And then this month and into the next month, but it can definitely start happening at 3 months, everything is about to change. And forever. So
yeah.
So let's have a look at what that sort of newborn stage might have looked like and where we're heading now.
Yeah, so if you've got one of the lucky newborns and your baby is feeding really well and sleeping really well and burping really well, you've probably had a relatively sleepy newborn as such. So they've drifted between sleep cycles. The way that they've gone to sleep hasn't mattered. You know, you could rock them to sleep. You could cuddle them to sleep. You could pat them to sleep. You could feed them to sleep. You know, whatever you did, it probably didn't matter too much for how long they slept for. And then the other part of this is you didn't really need to focus really too much on their naps either, because generally they'll sleep pretty well. Although hopefully you have been focusing on their naps, because that will help you throughout the night for sure. But so maybe they haven't been doing 3 or 4 consistent naps. You know, you might not know what sort of routine or pattern they're doing yet, but coming out into that sort of 3 month sleep sort of area, you'll notice that they'll need to have sort of 3 consistent naps now, and that just to be able to get through the day and make sure they're not overtired or undertired and spread throughout the day nicely to encourage really good night's sleep.
So this is actually, we say this is a really good time if people haven't really been focusing on their little one's sleep too much prior to this. We generally say this is actually the perfect time to start getting those 3 consistent naps happening and set up some really good sleep patterns at around this age, because there is a huge sleep regression on the horizon. And if you put in the work now while it's easy and get those naps set up and a really predictable, consistent routine for your little one during the day, then it's going to be hugely helpful in the next couple of months. So I should say, when we're talking about 3 consistent naps a day, generally the nap structure that we recommend and use in our sleep programs is to have a shorter morning nap, a really nice long lunchtime sleep, and we're talking a couple of hours across the middle of the day, and then another shorter late afternoon nap. And the reason that we do it this way is because we know that that's the right amount of sleep in the right chunks to mean that your little one is staving off the overtiredness throughout the day, but that they are awake for long enough in their different awake periods that they are genuinely tired and ready for sleep. I mean, if you have your longest nap of the day first thing in the morning and then 2 shorter naps, it's quite likely your little one is getting pretty overtired toward the end of the day. And equally, if you're having a really giant nap last in the late afternoon, I can guarantee that that's sabotaging your nighttime, your bedtime settling and your nighttime sleep. So this is definitely the nap pattern that we would recommend. Short nap, long nap, short nap.
The other thing that a long morning nap can do is it can cause early morning waking, and it possibly hasn't mattered up until about 3 months as to how long that first nap is, but it definitely from now onwards can cause your baby to start waking up for the day at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, and you're not really sure as to what's going on. And then, of course, you end up in this vicious cycle of thinking that your baby's really tired, so then they need to have a longer morning nap, you know, and it's quite hard to get rid of. So
it can be quite hard to know why it's happening too. Like, yes. I remember my eldest, who devastatingly is now 12 and a half, she used to have this early morning wake, and I swear she had it till she was like 7. She had it because it was just such a habit. Definitely when she was a baby, for a long time she was a 5 a.m. baby. And like, I had zero idea at that time, this was obviously before little ones, that the naps affected that so much. I mean, I can't really remember now whether she would have had a longer morning sleep. She probably did. I don't know. I probably thought she needed to catch up, which I think is a pretty reasonable thought. You know, you've been up early, so I'm going to let you catch up on your sleep. But it's just a self-perpetuating cycle, yeah, isn't it? And no wonder we didn't kick that habit for years and years. And it wasn't until I had my other two, who were more like little ones, babies, especially my last child. Then I was like, you know, one of them starts waking early and you have a look at things, you make a couple changes, and then it's resolved, which is extremely beneficial because nobody likes 5 a.m. So tied into this equation of this nap routine and having these three naps and the ideal nap structure is, of course, how long your little one should be awake for between the nap. So as Amanda was saying, they've come out of this newborn stage, so we have to stop thinking about them as a newborn baby who has, you know, very small amounts of awake time and lots of daytime sleep. In actual fact, your little one at this age is probably starting to not want lots of daytime sleep, especially coming into the 4-month sleep regression. But it's critical that we also make sure their awake windows between naps are appropriate for their age, because a lot of people we hear and see all the time at around 12 weeks old are still aiming for 1 hour of awake time for their baby, thinking in their mind that their baby's still basically a newborn. They don't realize their baby has changed and grown and developed so much across those couple of months. And an hour of awake time at this age is not going to work.
It might work, but it's going to stuff you up somewhere else. It might mean that your baby is then just wide awake in the middle of the night for large periods of time, or wakeful in the night, you know, waking every sleep cycle and staying awake because they need to be awake. Or they're not going to bed until 10 o'clock at night, or they're waking up at like 4 a.m. for the day. So somewhere in there, if you're doing those sorts of naps, it will affect you somewhere else. And again, it's a reasonable thought. You don't understand what's happening. If you've had a baby that's been really wakeful overnight, you probably do think, well, they need to nap lots through the day. But it's kind of you need to calibrate. You need to calibrate those daytime naps to then help fix your nighttime. And the reason we work on the naps first is because it is just so much easier to deal with your baby during the day than it is at nighttime. Everybody's tired at nighttime, and it's just hard. It's harder.
So the awake times we'd be aiming for at 3 months is around at least 2 hours between naps. So that means that if your baby is if you're endeavoring to only keep them awake for an hour and a half between their naps, it's not long enough. And you now maybe need to have a look at, like Amanda said, what else is going wrong, because it's probably because they haven't been awake for long enough between their naps. And that might be that they're difficult to get to sleep. It might be that they're only having very short naps, that they're difficult to get to sleep at bedtime, or they're waking and wakeful overnight. So make sure you've got those 2 hours at least between naps. Keep that short nap, long nap, short nap structure. And where are we going from here, Amanda?
Well, if you've done all of those things and you've got your baby sleeping really well during the day, you will hopefully end up with a baby who will consolidate their night earlier. So this will mean that they'll either be sleeping and waking one or two times, or they may have even consolidated to be a really long stretch. I would say it's pretty reasonable at this age to still have at least one wake mm-hmm. even two if you're counting a dream feed, but you're hopefully consolidating that night.
And also hopefully those wakes are awake, feed, straight back to sleep. You know, like it's not a big palaver. It's not 2 hours of trying to get your baby back to sleep.
Yeah, that's right. So it's really just now sleeping during the night and then feeding back to sleep. So this is where a dream feed may come in and can work really well at around this age. So I did a dream feed with both of my girls from quite early on. This was my husband did the dream feed. It starts later in the night when they're super young, but around this age, you could be doing it around 10, 10:30 if it works for your family. So my husband would do the dream feed with a bottle of Express milk. He would feed, put the baby back down, and then I would go to sleep, obviously, earlier but then 10 o'clock. And then I would do the 2, 3 a.m. wake up. And if it even happened at that time, at 3 months old, it should even be moving out towards 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and getting to be no wake at all. So that's what we're thinking about when we're looking at sleeping through the night. So that's if you do a dream feed. If you don't do a dream feed, that's totally fine. And if it doesn't work for your family or it doesn't work for your baby, that's fine. What you'll probably find is your baby might wake around 2 o'clock if they go to bed at 7, 2 o'clock, and then you might find they wake again at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Or hopefully they just have a really big feed at around that middle of the night and then they sleep right through till 7. And so either way, we're just looking to consolidate some big chunks of sleep here so that, you know, we're out of the newborn phase and we can all start taking back some sleep.
Yeah, and like you were saying though, Amanda, if everything's going right during the day, that's the biggest step to get the nights happening. And both you and I had our youngest sleeping through the night by this age. So Cha-Cha was sleeping through the night, I want to say, by about 9 weeks. And that was without a dream feed even. Mm. And she was a breastfed baby. It was just...
And she was a big baby too.
She was a chunky monkey. Everything was perfect for her to sleep through the night. There was no sleep training. There was nothing. It's just she just started sleeping. And, you know, you do that whole thing where the first few nights you're checking every half hour. You're like, are they still breathing? But, you know, so definitely at 3 months you should, if you've been working on it, if you've been getting all the stuff right during the day, you should be seeing some success overnight. If your little one is still waking like 4 or 5 times a night at this age, then you really need to take a look at what's going on, because there will be most likely something during their day that's really off. And another thing that we would still be recommending at this age that can definitely help your little one sleep is what is happening in their sleep environment. So swaddling them, you know, they should really, unless they're rolling, should be swaddled at this age, because they're still going to have a pretty strong moro reflex, but also it just helps them to feel cozy and confined, and it puts pressure on their parasympathetic nervous system, which initiates calming response. It's like how we use weighted blankets as adults for the same reasons. Certainly, having white noise at this age is going to be massively beneficial to helping your little one with their naps, but also to consolidate that nighttime sleep. And as we always say, and particularly for the day, have a very dark room. The dark is really important from this point onwards. Your little one needs that melatonin that the dark helps to provide, but also your little one is, they're becoming alert and aware, and they're going to get FOMO. And if there's stuff that they can see in their sleep environment, they're going to look at it and they're not going to sleep. So if you've got mobiles, bright, colourful things on the sides of their crib or toys, they're not going to sleep because they can look at these things and they will want to look at them too. So think of pitch black, nothing distracting that can disturb them going to sleep.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just so easy. Like, you may have a baby that can sleep with lights on and you might be one of the lucky ones, but also is it bad if you make it dark for them? Is it, you know, it's not. It's not bad. It's not going to affect your sleep.
It's not going to negatively affect their sleep, but it can if they don't have it.
Yeah.
It's what I feel like I say about everything. It's like, I don't know why people push back about a lot of this stuff. It's not going to make it worse, but it will probably make it better. So why wouldn't you do it?
I know. My oldest slept in pitch black from a baby. She was sleeping really well. And now, you know, she's nearly 10 years old. I went upstairs the other night and she had gone to sleep with all her lights on. So, you know, she can still sleep in those light rooms. She can still sleep with the sun coming in. It hasn't affected her. My other one, however, she definitely needs it to be dark. She came in this morning. To be fair, I need it to be dark. So do I. And she came in this morning. It's like daytime already, Mum, in my room. It's close to daylight savings changeover and her blinds need to be made a bit darker in her room. We've moved into a new house and her curtains aren't very good. But yeah, it's definitely, we're going to make that dark before daylight saving change. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm saying that we'll get slightly darker in mornings again for a while, won't we? Until the middle of summer and then everything's light all of the time.
I'm just worried that she won't actually go to sleep at night.
Yeah, oh yeah, so it'll be going to sleep at night time. This applies for babies, toddlers. It's the worst for toddlers, I think, because when it's still really bright at their bedtime and you're chucking them in and your toddler's unreasonable.
Especially in summer when you want to spend a bit more time and you get a bit more sort of lazy.
Yeah, and you want them to go to sleep so you can go, you know, have a wine and out in the sun with your hubby, and then they're just, so we can trick them.
So in those situations, we definitely need it to be dark. Shall we move on to development and talk about what's happening with development at three months old?
We've sort of covered sleep. Let's just recap sleep quickly. So we've got three consistent naps, short nap, long nap, short nap, about 2 hours of awake time, at least 2 hours of awake time in between naps. You're aiming for a dark room. You're using your loud white noise. You're hopefully still swaddling your baby.
Yep.
And you can reasonably expect maybe one, maybe two night wakes, but fingers crossed, you are definitely moving towards more consolidated nighttime sleep at this age. All right, moving on to development because there is a lot that happens at this age, and actually we're going to talk about the developmental stuff that happens and then also how it is going to or can affect your little one's sleep. And I'll talk about the first one because I sort of hinted at it earlier, is rolling. Around this age, your little one is probably going to roll, usually though from their stomach to their back, which isn't that big a drama for sleep because your little ones are hopefully sleeping on their backs, which is the safest way for them to sleep. However, not long after they start rolling from their stomach to their back, they're going to suddenly realize they have this rolling superpower and are probably quite quickly going to be rolling from their back onto their stomach. And that is the point where you have to unswaddle your baby because it's not safe. So rolling is something that you would be working on in your little one's awake time, popping them on their tummies, on a play mat, and they're going to start rolling onto their back. But as soon as you see them roll from their back to their stomach, you're going to have to pretty quickly start to get rid of that swaddle because it becomes pretty unsafe.
It does. And so let's talk about their eyes. Their eyes are now mostly developed, although they can't see really long distances at this point. But everything in their world is close up. So everything in their room is distance enough. So this is where if they're looking at mobiles, if they're looking at colourful things in their beautiful Pinterest designed nursery, that's fantastic. But make sure it is only during the daytime and their awake time hours. When it is dark, hopefully they can't see all of those beautiful things because they will look at them. Yeah. They will look at interesting colours and shapes and textures and everything that they'll be looking at.
So it's really important to give them as much of that visual stimulation as you can during their awake times. And this is also going to help tire them out. It's tiring being a baby. And when your brain is learning and looking and absorbing all these new things. So give them really interesting things to look at. I remember my kids always used to love looking at the light on the ceiling or like the shadows of the trees blowing, you know, that are coming in through the window. Just funny things like that. And they would sit there and stare at it for ages. But they're figuring it out. They're learning to focus. They're like, it's interesting to them and it's tiring, which is what we want. So give your little one lots of opportunities to look at things and also to grab things. Because at this age, sort of closer to 4 months, between 3 and 4 months, is when your little one is going to start, like they will start reaching out for things at 3 months, reaching towards things. And then at, toward the end of that period, they'll actually be able to grab things on purpose with their hands.
Yeah.
Not just accidentally grabbing your hair while you're feeding them. They're going to start reaching for toys or reaching for things hanging off a mobile and they will be able to grab them. Again, what this means for their sleep is that if there are things to grab, they will grab them.
Yep.
If they're not swaddled and if they can see them.
Yeah, so making sure it's dark, obviously, we've talked about this. But with the grabbing of things, they will also put things in their mouth, and this is because that they'll put their hands in their mouth, they'll put their toys in their mouth, they'll put everything in their mouth, and it is not because they're teething. This is a developmental stage that happens around 3 months old of sensory, like taste is one of their senses that they're trialing out. They're seeing, they're tasting, they're hearing, they're doing all of these things. So because they are tasting their toys, they're seeing, oh, yuck, you know, they're feeling different textures with their mouth. This is part of the development. It is not teething. You will also notice that they're drooling a lot. Now, the drooling is also, surprisingly, not teething. It is another developmental stage of getting ready and preparing their body for solids. So this is a developmental stage. Yes, babies may get teeth around this age, but all babies drool and stuff things in their mouth.
And actually,
and they don't
all get teeth.
It's pretty
young. It is young to get teeth. You know, mine,
yes,
Max started to get teeth at 4 months, and that's young for teeth. Whereas my eldest was like 9 months old. And I remember thinking with her, and this is so embarrassed, like we all thought this, with my eldest, I knew nothing. And totally did this whole thing at this age. In fact, I see it on my Facebook memories. Oh, teething baby. And I look at the date and I'm like, so she was like 11 weeks old. Like, there's no way. And then hilariously didn't get teeth till she was 9 months old.
Yes. And contrary to popular belief, teeth do not go up and down in their gums.
No, they don't move.
They don't move. They just come up the one time, is when they get the teeth.
There's actually nowhere for them to move because at that point, your little one has two full sets of teeth in their gum and wisdom teeth. Sometimes I look at this because it kind of frightens me. X-rays of babies' like faces, and jaws. You see it. It's actually like a horror movie because none of the teeth are down, but there's like goes right up underneath their eyes. They've got so many teeth in their mouth. The teeth have nowhere to move around in their jaw. They have the one tiny path where they pop up and that's it. But we digress. Your baby's not teething at this age, so don't worry about it. But there is a lot of stuff that happens at this age that you might think is teething, the drooling, shoving things in their mouth, and also perhaps disrupted sleep, which will be happening for some of those reasons we discussed in the first section. We've talked about how your little one needs some more awake time, and that is because they are more awake. They want to explore the world. They want to look at things and go out and feel the fresh air and grab things, and you've got to... Now, this is practice. This is like gears you up for having a toddler where you have to spend their whole awake time entertaining them. It starts now.
Yeah.
To be fair, I still expect my mother to entertain me. So I expect her to entertain my kids. So let's talk about a couple more interesting development things that happen at this age, Amanda.
The cute things. They'll be smiling, they'll be laughing, and they'll be chatting with you.
Yeah.
They'll be babbling, they'll be using their voice, and they'll try to find you. Also, when this comes to sleep, they'll probably start trying to do those things in the middle of the night too. So yeah. You may find if your baby isn't tired that they've woken up in the middle of the mm-hmm. night and they're just chatting to themselves. It's pretty cute. Not cute for you, especially if you've got a monitor on. This is where I turned yeah. my monitor sound off during the night, because you will hear them. If you're sleeping on the same floor as your baby, you will hear them.
If they're crying, so, yeah.
If they're crying, if they need you.
Yeah.
If they're just there lying and chatting to themselves, they don't need you. So don't go rushing in. Because
Michaela, at this age, used to blow raspberries. You know, yes. In this age is where they start learning to blow raspberries. And I remember, vividly remember, waking up in the middle of the night and just hearing this like raspberries over the monitor. And I was like, are you really kidding me? It's cute and it's funny, but it's not cute or funny.
Not at 3 a.m.
No.
So if those things are happening in the middle of the night, hopefully it is just a phase, but also make sure you're checking your awake times, your total day sleep through the day as well, because these will happen more if your baby is just having some playtime in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so I think we've sort of covered pretty much everything, Amanda. All of the sleep stuff that happens at 3 months old, all of the big developmental stuff and how that affects sleep, because sleep at this age, at any age, is literally so important. And hopefully that gives you some insight into your baby's world when they are 3 months old. We'd like to thank you guys for listening today, and please do check out our other podcasts for tons more sleep advice. As always, if you're in need of further help, come and find us at littleones.co or download our app, and we can guide you through any sleep challenge, like actually any challenge you're facing from there, and we would love to do so. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in our next episode.
Talk to you later.
Good.
This is Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.